Welcome to Tuesday Treasure, where we air a show from our archives. This episode of Step Into the Light features event coordinator for Thistle Farms, Doris Walker. Thistle Farms is a community of women in Nashville who have survived abuse, trafficking, prostitution, and addiction. This episode originally aired in April of 2016. Let's take a look back.
My guest today is Doris Walker, a remarkable lady who survived life on the streets of Nashville, Tennessee for 26 long years, where she endured multiple rapes and found herself at death's door many times. Doris grew up in a rural area of Tennessee, graduated high school, and attended Austin Peay State University. However, a childhood trauma eventually led her to addiction, prostitution, and abuse. Today, Doris serves as the event coordinator at Thistle Farms, a powerful community of women who have survived addiction, trafficking, and prostitution. Doris has much to share about this wonderful organization and how it has helped her and hundreds of other women put their lives back together. Good morning, Doris. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. It's so good to have you here this morning, Doris.
And I'd like to be here.
I'd like to tell our listeners how we met, because I really think it was kind of a God-ordained thing, which I think is so exciting. I was in Albany Airport in New York. My mom had passed, and I was back there for her celebration of life ceremony. My sister and brother-in-law had come to the airport to pick my daughter and I up, and as my sister and brother-in-law walked over to get our luggage, or my brother-in-law did, I think my sister was probably talking to my daughter, and I noticed three ladies with their backs to me in t-shirts that said Love Heals. And I thought, they have got to be spreading a message of some kind. I've got to go talk to them. Well, of course, I only had a few seconds, and we just exchanged a couple of words, and I said, hey, I broadcast a radio show, and I'm sure that you ladies have a message. And I think it was you, Doris, I spoke to, gave me a little rundown on what Thistle Farms is about, and handed me your card, and I said, I'll be in touch. And the rest were making history today after that.
There you go.
So I think that was
pretty exciting.
True. Well, Doris, I happen to have a niece who lives in Nashville. She doesn't anymore, but she used to work for the music industry. So when I think Nashville, I happen to enjoy country western music. So when I think Nashville, I'm thinking Garth Brooks and Craig Morgan and some of the other singers that I enjoy, and it, where dreams are made for young musicians and all of this kind of thing. But I have also seen the PBS special, A Path Appears. And I know that Nashville has a very dark side to it, and that is part of where Thistle Farms comes in. So if you would tell us what the mission is of Thistle Farms.
Okay, so Thistle Farms is made up of a lot of different parts. So there's Thistle Farms, the manufacturing area that makes some lovely bath and body products, and they're all natural. We have a Thistle Stop Cafe where graduates of the Magnum program work at the cafe, and they sell really healthy foods. And the heart of the program, I would say, since I'm a graduate, the heart of the program is the Magdalen House. So Magdalen is a two-year recovery sanctuary, and it is designed for women just like me. It's for women who have suffered, yet survived, lives of addiction, human trafficking, abuse, and prostitution. So our mission statement says that we stand as a witness that love is the most powerful force for social change.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Tell us, when I think of thistles, I think of really painful, prickly things. So tell us how the name Thistle Farms came about.
Okay, so Thistle Farm. So we were named after the weed, the thistle. The thistle goes all the way back into the biblical days. You see thistles in the field. You know, they're really prickly, but they have a glorious purple center. So we were named Thistle Farm. So it's not a farm. I do not work on a farm. It's not a farm, but we call it Thistle Farms. We call it Thistle Farms because a thistle is a survival weed. And we are survivors. Thistles grow through concrete. Thistles survive drought. Thistles grew in the alleyways where a lot of us walked during our addiction. So that's why we thought that's the very weed. How ironic that that would be the very weed that would actually bring us all together to start our path of healing. You know, we use the actual thistles in the paper studios to make thistle paper. They pull the center out, and you know, the thistle, the inside, the billowy part is like cousins to the dandelion. So it has that dandelion look on the inside. Mm-hmm. We pull it out, we tear up thistles, we tear up old paper, we tear up old t-shirts. We don't think that anything in God's creation does not have a purpose. So we use all the old things that other people think are waste. We tear it up, we put it in a big, huge machine called a critter, grind it up, and it comes out beautiful sheets of thistle paper. And from the thistle paper, we make beautiful cards, we hand-stitch the cards, we screen print pictures of thistles and geraniums on them. We use all types, we make bookmarks out of the thistle paper. So we have a department here at Thistle Farms called the Artisans, the paper and sewing studios, and they make all types of things with the down of the thistles. Thistles are prickly. No one wants to get close to a thistle. And one time in my life, no one wanted to be close to me because they knew if they got close to Doris, eventually Doris would hurt them. You know, I would, because I would just burn bridge after bridge in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really fascinating. I love that analogy, Doris. Being somewhat of a writer, I just love the analogy. And being totally non-crafty, I have so much admiration for people that are. And it sounds like you guys have just taken something that most people would just cast aside and made it into something useful and beautiful. And that is, my goodness. That
and
is
the
just
thistle
amazing.
Down, milk thistle is known. Milk thistle is known around the world to help to detoxify the liver. A lot of the ladies come in off the street and they're in bad health from being on the years, and their bodies are worn and their bodies are battered. And a lot of the ladies come over and they start working in the milk thistle and in the down, and it actually helps to restore the liver. Thistle is really good for you. And, you know, when people say Thistle Farms, people think we're a farm. The reason we say that, because the world is our farm. And I'm a survivor leader, and there is only one story. There is only one community. I'm talking about the whole world, and there is only one love. And when we talk about Thistle Farms Global Marketplace, which is around the world, we have people all around the world who suffer from extreme poverty. We help them as well. We pay them 60% of the proceeds to make things for us, like pine needle baskets from Guatemala. We have beautiful bags that our healing oils go in, and those bags come from Ecuador. We have bowls from Icarizi. So we go around, and we have women that suffer from extreme poverty and rape just like we do. So, yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
Oh, it sounds absolutely fantastic. How did this whole organization come about, Doris? Who started it?
Her name, the founder of the program, is the amazing, I just love this lady. Her name is Reverend Becca Stevens. Becca Stevens thought, she hasn't suffered the type of things we have, but she's had just a taste of our lifestyle because her father was a minister and he had a car wreck and he passed when she was a child. And the very person who was going to watch over her and teach her the ways of God ended up molesting Becca. So she knows just enough. She doesn't compare herself to our stories, but she has just a taste of what we go through, and she wanted to help. So back in 1997, Becca Stevens went out, and she found five ladies, and she said, if you're willing to try to change your life, I'll give you a place, a sanctuary, to do that in. So five women came in back in 1997, and that's where the Magdalen program came into play. So the women were staying clean. They were getting their lives back, but they were dirt poor from their addiction, and when they would go out to look for jobs, no one would give them a second chance.
Sure.
So Becca Stevens thought, I know what I'll do. She waited. She said, about 4 years later, she thought, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll open up my own company and give these women a place to work. So she opened up Thistle Farms back in 2001. So Thistle Farms is the workplace for the women of Magdalen, for the graduates and for the residents as well. So that's how Thistle Farms and Magdalen began.
Well, mm-hmm. I think that's, once again, it's just a wonderful story to hear of somebody who wanted to do something for these ladies and really took some action that means something and that has impacted. How many women would you say have been through the program, Doris?
It's been hundreds. So since 1996, so it takes, it's a 2-year program. So it takes 24 months to get a group of ladies through. And now we've grown because at first we started off with one house. Now we have four houses and one transitional house. So out of those four houses, we can house about 28 women is about the limit, because we have like two women in a room. And when I tell you the houses are amazingly beautiful, Becca does not just give us a place to stay. She gives us a beautiful place to stay. She believes in radical hospitality. So it's probably been over, I would say about 200 women since 1997 have graduated the Magdalen program because they come in, hundreds of women, probably more than that. They come in, they stay for 2 whole years, and then if they're not economically ready to go, if they're not emotionally or mentally ready to go back out into the world, then they can stay at the transitional house for another year, and then you begin to learn how, or in my case, remember how to pay bills. So there's nowhere in America I know of that you can live in a house and pay $100 a month. But then you can start paying the small amounts of money just to get in the habit of paying bills. So that's mm-hmm. what I did. After my 2 years, I went to the transitional home because my background says it's in my mind and in my soul that home is not a safe place for me. So I wasn't ready to go out on my own. So I stayed in the transitional house for an additional year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, that's amazing.
When a lady comes into the program, now some of these ladies are very severely addicted, is my understanding. Is that correct, Doris?
They are. They are addicted. So when they come in, we don't bring the disease in there among the other women. So when you come into the program and they say, we've got room for you to come in, they'll give you a drug screen. And if you still have drugs in your system, they see it don't cost the addict. It doesn't cost us anything. But they'll send us to Elam Center, which is a rehab center that's connected with Meharry Hospital. They'll send you in there and you do an in-house program, and it's based on what your needs are. Sometimes it's 28 days. Sometimes it might be 3 months. It just depends on what you need and what the hospital says you need to do. And then once you're clean, once you can pass a drug screen, they bring you into the home. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was basically my question. I wondered if there was a detox facility available right there on site, or if you networked with other resources throughout the city is what I wondered, and you pretty much answered that question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when a person comes into the program, Doris, are there certain rules and regulations, can I say, that a person needs to adhere to if they don't follow the program? Or are they basically told, well, sorry, you can't stay? Or how does that work?
Well, yes, there are rules. Donna Greer is the director of the Magdalen program, and she's an amazing lady. When you come in, you know, I remember when I got there, when I came into the program, they handed me a key, and nobody had trusted me in such a very long time to give me a key. I was just so grateful. But when you come in there, we don't have any staff, per se, to live with the women in the house. And we do, they do that intentionally, because a lot of women, after coming off the streets being raped and battered and abused, a lot of people don't respect or do not have a good relationship with authority, because a lot of people have been taken advantage of from people that are in authority.
Sure.
So every house is a beautiful house, and it's our own personal sanctuary. So the sisters and the people in the house just, like, hold each other accountable. You can't mess up my new life. You can't do anything that are against the rules here, because they'll tell the staff. But no staff lives in the house with the women.
Okay.
So they, you know, the Donna Grail say that, you know, of course, there's zero tolerance to drug use in the homes.
Sure.
It is strongly suggested that you do not get into a relationship during those 2 years, because this two years is about us. It's about our personal healing. So when I came into the program, they sent me to therapy, and, you know, and I just have to keep saying over and over again, it does not cost the woman who is trying to get her life back. It costs her not a single dollar. So you come into the house, and they'll send you to therapy. They'll send you to the doctor to get well. Whatever your needs are, they meet your needs. There are some women who come in, and they might go to SAC, which is a local sexual assault center. And I still attend that assault center to today, and this is like 7 years later. I still go because I was on the streets. I was in my addiction for 26 years, so I still go to it. But we
sure.
And then I went to the
business.
By the time I got to the Magdalen program, after being in my addiction for 26 years and after being on the streets for 20 years, I had maybe 11 teeth in my mouth. I'd say 11 and a half. I had a half a tooth up front. I had a few teeth sporadically placed all in my mouth from excessive drug use and just not caring for my body. They sent me to the dentist. All my teeth were pulled. They gave me a beautiful new set of teeth. And then as I continued to heal, I got a reason to smile. And I don't think I've been able to stop smiling ever since. So my life is good now, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
I am. I'm truly grateful. So it's just great. It's just like you leave the darkness and you step into the light. It's amazing, you know, the transformation that we make once we come into the program. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how
yeah.
did you find out about the program, or did somebody approach you, or?
The way I found out about the program, so I was on the streets, and my life consisted of, you know, I walked the streets of Nashville in a 10-block radius for over 20 years, and I can remember, you know, in and out of cars, and I lived an inhumane life, and I can remember being left in the ditch for dead, and it was just a really bad time in my life. My life consisted of multiple rapes, trading myself to get out of the sun, trading myself to get out of cold weather, selling myself for money. It was just like I was a commodity. I didn't have any self-worth anymore. I was in and out of jail. And one of the times I went to jail, I ran across a really girl that I had been really close with on the street. Her name was Regina. And Regina and I had been on the streets together, and she just disappeared. And, you know, in that lifestyle, one day you might have a friend. The next day they will be dead. That's just what happened on the street. So I
sure.
hadn't seen Regina in over 12 years, and I thought, I wonder where Regina is. And I thought, wow, I thought she's probably locked up. Then I thought, no, she can't be locked up that long. She might be dead. So one of the many times I went to jail, I saw Regina. But she was not there as an inmate as I was. She was there as a representative from Magdalen, because she was one of the first five women that came into Magdalen back in 1997. She was there, and she was given a word of hope, and she was telling the women in the penal system that there is a way out. It's not the vicious cycle that you think it is. There is a way out. And Regina was talking to everyone, and she gave me the number. So when I got out of jail, when I got out of jail, I went home, returned back to White House, Tennessee, where I'm from. I took my daughter's picture off the wall, and I scribbled Magdalene's number on the back of the picture, and I hung the picture back up, stayed home for a few days, and I returned to my addiction. So, Miss Patty, when I tell you I love music, I absolutely love music. It is food for the soul for me. So every now and then, I would call my mom just to let her know I was still alive. So I called my mom one day, and she said, Doris, we need you to come back home. She said, we're having a choir anniversary, and we would love for you to come back to your choir anniversary. So I was able to go home, put together a few days, and I would go lay in the bed all day, and I could hear my mom praying, and she would feed me, and she'd give me vitamins, and I'd lay in the bed and rest. And then in the evenings, I would go to choir rehearsal. I would sing hymn praises. I would, you know, then I'd come home, and I would call Regina. I said, Regina, this is Doris. Can I come in yet? She said, Doris, we have over 150 women on the waiting list. But if you can just hold on, I promise you, I'm trying to get you in. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So then I had not forgotten how to pray, because I grew up in a family where my mother and father were humble believers in God. So I would go back the next day, spend the day at my mom's house, go back to choir rehearsal the next day, practice my songs at church, come home, call Regina. I said, Regina, do you have room for me yet? She said, Doris, I need for you to call me every day. She said, and I can move you up on the list if we know your sincerity. She said, but I don't have a place for you yet, Doris, but I promise I will. Just hold on. So I would go back, did this like four or five days, did the same thing. And I kept. So I called Regina one day, and I said, okay, Regina, I can't hold out much longer. I said, I'm beginning to have using dreams. And I said, that addiction, that drug is calling my name, and I'm not going to be able to hold up. She said, Doris, please don't go anywhere. She said, please don't. She said, I'm going to go in tomorrow, and I'm going to talk to the director, and I'm going to let her know that you're really, really, really trying. She said, just keep holding on. So I would go to bed, and I was praying about it. I'm thinking, God, please, I just know in my spirit, if I could get somewhere, if I could sit down for 2 years, surely goodness, I will be able to make it. Because I had tried before. I had tried so many times to get clean before. And I would go into a halfway house, and the rent was like $125 to $140. Rent would be like $125 to $140 per week. And I would, at that time, I couldn't find a job. So the only way I knew how to make money in that time of my life was the only way I knew how to make money. So I would do that. But then I wanted to forget what I had just done. So I would go back and use again. So I couldn't stay in the halfway house because I couldn't stay clean. So I remember I called Regina back the next day after the anniversary. I called Regina back and I said, okay, Regina, I'm going to try this one more time today. I know you don't have room for me. She said, yes, I do, Doris. I got room for you. You can come in. That was one of the most amazing days of my life. So November the 9th, 2009, I came into the Magdalene program, and I was so grateful, and I was so amazed. So when I got there, the first thing they did, they met me at the door. They gave me a drug screen. I was clean because I had been staying home. I was clean. And then they handed me a key. And that was an amazing thing because nobody had trusted me in such a very long time to give me a key. So when I got there, they didn't say, okay, Doris, what you been doing? They said, what happened to you? At that very moment, I was able to tell my story. I had held inside being a witness to my father's murder all my life. And
What a horrible thing to have happen.
Yeah, and I had gone into denial, and I didn't want to think about being a little girl standing there, seeing my father killed, and being right there in the midst of it. And I could not live with that thought, so I would continually use to try to get rid of that thought. And as soon as I would come into my sober mind, I'd go right back out. So then I became in the process of trying to forget my childhood and my childhood trauma. In the process of doing that, I inadvertently became addicted to cocaine. So then I had a full-blown addiction that I needed to satisfy. So that's when I started walking the streets. So that's how my life just downspiraled. It downspiraled. But when I came into the Magdalene program, they sent me to treatment. They sent me to therapy. They sent me to the sexual assault center. They sent me to the dentist and got my teeth fixed. They gave me a smile in my heart. So I was set. I was beginning to my life. So because Crystal Farms was already in place when I got here, because Crystal Farms opened up in 2001 and I got there in 2009, I came to work at Crystal Farms. And my first job here at Crystal Farms was to make lip balm. And I would sit at the table all day, and I would hold this little tube in my hand, and I would pour the liquid into this little tube all day. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. But it wasn't as bad as I thought, because as I sat there, I thought, oh, my goodness. But as I sat there, my mind began to clear, because it took a while for my mind to clear up. My mind began to clear up, and I remembered some of the things that my parents had taught me as a child, and I did remember that we prosper by the work of thy hands. So I held on to it, and I just kept coming back, and I just kept doing the next right thing, and I kept showing up for work and doing what I was supposed to do. And my next job was to work downstairs in the packing department, and my job was to put all the products that we make into the bins, send them out, let the ladies go out and tell their stories, let the ladies go out and tell the history of Magdalene Crystal Farms, and they would sell the products. And that's how we keep our doors open. We keep our doors open through the sales of our products, private donations, and grants. We don't take any state or federal funding, and we do that intentional so that every woman's plan can remain individual. They can do their own plan. You know, it's not like after 3 months you have to be here, and after next 6 months you've got to do this. No, every woman's plan is different, and what every woman has gone through, that's her individual story. But we are more alike than different. So that's our reason for really, really, really needing to continue to sell the products. And what I'm so proud about is every product that we make, the products are handmade, hand-poured, hand-labeled. And on every product, it has a label on it. And on the side of the label, it has a picture, a faint picture of a thistle. And it says, this product was handmade by a survivor of addiction, human trafficking, and abuse. And we stand as witness that love is the most powerful force for change. So our mission statement is on absolutely every product that we sell. So, you know, we have a website, and we have Twitter, and we ask people to like us on the Facebook page, and we keep the movement going, and that's how we keep our doors open, and that's how we continue to get women off of the street and bring women in and help them, be there for them so they can begin their healing process, and it does not cost the women that have been suffering all their lives. It does not cost them a dime to work to get their lives back. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. If I could break in for just a second, Doris, I do want to let our listeners know that they are listening to Step Into the Light here on Blog Talk Radio. We have listeners that sometimes come in the middle of a show and they wonder what's going on. Today, my guest is Doris Walker. She is the event coordinator at Thistle Farms, which is an amazing, wonderful program for ladies that are recovering from addiction, prostitution, human trafficking, things such as that. They have a fantastic line of homemade products, or I guess you'd say homemade products, including skincare and body products and things of that nature. They have a cafe, I believe, in Nashville. And I'll let Doris explain a little bit more about some of the other businesses they have. But I do want to make listeners aware that if you go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, you will find all of the contact information for Doris. The website for Thistle Farms will be there. The URL for their Facebook page and their Twitter account will also be there under my Blog Talk Radio tab under the social media and website page. So I just wanted to make listeners aware of where they can find Doris again, and also make listeners aware that this show is archived. You can come back to it at any time. And once again, you'll find that at pattysheen.com. There's a direct link to the show on my front page, and on the Blog Talk Radio tab, there's also links to the show. So let's get back to Doris. Well, so far, your story has been absolutely phenomenal, Doris. It's just amazing. Tell us a little bit more about some of the opportunities, the products. I know you said you do lip balm. What other kind of body care products?
We do lip balms. The lip balms are made with beeswax and almond oils and a lot of other good, healthy, nourishing ingredients. And then we have the lip smoothie, and lip smoothies are made with pomegranate, and it has a mineral in it called mica, and the mica puts a shimmer of light on your lips, and that's really beautiful. We have candles. Our candles are soy candles, and our scents, we have a lot of different scents. We have lavender, we have citrus vanilla, we have lemon sage, Tuscan earth, baseline of Tuscan earth is grapefruit, tea tree mint. And we do have unscented in some products for people who are scent sensitive. So those are the products we have. We have an entire line of shared trade products because we have a Thistlefarm global community. And that's where Becca DeStevens decided to reach out and help women across the world. So we have beautiful chasubles and stones, and we have bags from Ecuador, and all this is some bimbe material. It's beautiful colors, and we have those. We have beautiful scarves. We have pine needle hand woven bows from Guatemala. We have all types of beautiful things. We have bows from Icarizi. The list just goes on and on and on. So we have people all around the United States. We have tea from Mexico and the Moringa Mondres grows. The trees that have moringa on them, and they send us the moringa, and we blend it with the black tea. And moringa is like the new superfood. I was reading this article that said, you know, moringa is here, move over kale. But moringa has 23 healing properties. So
wow.
Moringa is like, it has vitamin A, C, D, it has potassium, stabilizes the blood sugar, helps you rest, increases the memory, and it just goes on and on and on. So we blend it in a tea, and then we have another tea that comes from Uganda, and it's a black tea, and the proceeds from it goes to help young men in Uganda, and it helps people who with HIV. So it's just really great. All of our products are just amazingly great. We have body butters, which is cocoa butter and shea butter. We have body balms, which is an oil-based emollient, and this is designed for your elbows, your feet, your heels, your cuticles. We have shower gel. We have liquid bottles of liquid soap. We have bottles of lotions. We have one candle that's an outdoor candle. We have a insect repellent. It's a bug-free insect repellent, and it's made with geranium, which is they use to fight malaria in Africa. We use we get the geranium from the fields of Rwanda. It has geranium oil in it. It has peppermint and spearmint. It's all natural. It doesn't have any DEET in it. Shake it up, spray it all over your body, and it repels mosquitoes and gnats. It is wonderful. So I could just go on and on about all of our products. And it's great because, you know, mosquitoes see me coming. So, yeah, it's really great. It's really great stuff. We have these we have so much stuff, and I just ask everybody to please go to our website, thistlefarms.org, and just take a look at all the amazing things we have. And no matter where you're located, people, listeners that are listening to me, no matter where you're located, we have a shipping department that will ship it right out to you, whatever it is that you need. So we have these wonderful T-shirts that say Love Heals, because as I said, love is the most powerful force for change. We have the short sleeve shirts. We have them with a crew neck. We have them with a V-neck. We have long sleeve shirts. We have the shirts that look like the athletic gear, the rugby shirts with the big bold letters on the back, and all of our T T-shirts say Love Heals, and they have a little emblem of a thistle on them, and it says Thistle Farms. So we actually have these little sock monkeys that are wonderful. They come from Peru, and they're just darling. All this stuff is hand-sewn, and it helps people around the world who suffer from extreme poverty. So it's great. It's amazing that one woman's vision has helped thousands and thousands of people.
Yes.
One more thing I want to say. We have sachets. We have lavender sachets, and the sachet was grown. Some of it we buy from a manufacturer, but some of the sachets, some of the lavender that we put in our sachets came from Swami. So it came from Swami. I've been up on beautiful mountains of Swami, up to the Magdalene, St. Mary's convent, going up there, and they plant the lavender forest, and I've gone up there to help them work the lavender up and water the lavender plants and all that, and it's just so amazing. So my life is just, I did a 360-degree turnaround, and everything that was is not, and everything I never thought could be has become. So my life is just, it's by God's hand. You know, I must say that Magdalene Thistle Farms is not a religious community. We're very spiritual, but it's not a religious community, and religion is not pushed on any of the women to come in, because some women actually have not met God for themselves, and that's okay.
Sure.
It just happens that I know who I am, and I know whose I am. So that's my choice, that I choose to put God in my life. Some of the women have not gotten there, and that's okay. But we do follow the 12 steps, the 12-step program, because we have to have some type of leadership. But we follow the 12-step program.
Some kind
program,
of structure, sure.
And we have to have some type of structure, so we do that. But it's just an amazing program. The women, we bond together. We have more likes than differences. And when they graduate the program, we call ourselves sisters for life, because we are. Our stories just, you know, we weep for each other, and we have empathy for each other. It's just amazing. I never thought that I would be this close to a group of women, because on the street, women were my competition. So I never thought it would be this way. So everything that I thought was not real, you know, so, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I sound really raspy because I've got this sinus congestion going on, and I apologize for that.
Oh, that's not unusual this time of the year, Doris.
It's not at all. So when I was talking about my jobs, when I worked my second job here at Thistle Farms, I worked downstairs in the packing department, and I had a really hard time remembering all the products that I was to put in the bin. My mind was just clearing up, but I love music, as I said before. So I wrote this song when I came in Magdalene. It was just called Magdalene. It talked about, I just wrote it out of gratitude. Then the next song I wrote was called I'm a Thistle Farmer, and it named all products that we make, all the 23 different products that we make. And then when my next job here was, my position now is to be one of the event coordinators. And God has such an amazing sense of humor. You know, at one point in my life, I found myself getting in and out of cars with strangers and just trading my body like I was a commodity to men. Now I spend my days talking to men of God and people of God, asking, can we come into your church and tell our story? Can we come in your office? Can we fly across the United States? I'd never flown before I got here. So, you know, now I spend my time trying to set up events and give the women, myself and other women, opportunities to go out and tell our stories, to tell about the history of Magdalene Thistle Farms, to sell our products. And it's amazing. It's great. It's great.
Well, it sounds like it. And you do go to, I'm not sure, do you attend like conferences, women's conferences and things of that nature?
We do. We attend women conferences. We go to DOKs, the Daughter of the Kings. We go to Episcopal Church. Any denomination that wants us to come, we come there. Any office building that wants us to come, we will come. We have house parties. We come into the ladies' houses, and we'll set up a small table with our products on it, and we show our videos, and we tell our stories. Becca likes to call it like a Tupperware party,
Sure.
Because we come in and we talk about women's issues and we talk about things and we bond. Everywhere we go, we seem to be able to bond with people. I've been in so many different places speaking and telling my story. And then before I walk out, somebody come up and say, you know what? I thought I was the only person that had that type of thing that happened to me. I was molested as a child. So a lot of people catch freedom. They get freedom. I call myself freeing myself up by talking and telling my story. But some of the people that listen to us actually get freedom because they get the awareness that it's okay to say what happened to you. It's okay to heal from your past, you know. So they realize that, yeah, sure do.
Well, I can imagine, Doris, the way you described your life, that when a lady is living in this kind of a situation, that she's in such a dark place and she is so isolated, because like you said yourself, you lose your sense of self-worth. You're a non-entity in your own heart and mind anymore. So
that's
why
true.
Would you reach
that's
out
true.
To anybody? So it's just so wonderful to hear about this recovery and this healing that Thistle Farms and Magdalene provides. And it's just a fascinating story, a very sad story that so many ladies live in this manner. But it's just so uplifting to hear that there is hope out there for people. And of course, that's
it
the premise
is. There
of the
is.
Show, is that there is hope out there when we live in dark times. And all of us
that's true.
Live
there
in a dark time to some degree at some point. So, yeah.
There is. And, you know, the ladies that come to Magdalene are not just from Nashville. We have women that come from all over to the Magdalene program. So it's not like it's a program in Nashville for the women of Nashville. It's a program for women wherever you may be. So because Becca Stevens did not have interest in franchising out and just you know, multiplying and going all over across the world, but she does have an education workshop. And what it does, it opens up the opportunity for anybody who, you know, because there's not a place on this earth that does not need a sanctuary like Magdalene. So education workshop days, Becca Stevens teaches you how to open up your own home, the things you need to do, the fundraising, the whatever it is you need to do to get started with your house. And then if you need to become sustainable, she teaches you how to become, you know, self-supporting and sustainable. Right now we have over 26 sister organizations in all the different states, in Ohio and Georgia and Wisconsin and Nebraska and Memphis, Tennessee and Fayetteville, Texas and Arizona and Wichita. And I just keep going on and on and on, all the different places in San Diego, California, all the different places where people have come in from to Thistle Farms, learn how to open up their own place. They go back to where they live. They get a house. And they get a house and they start to open it up and have women to come in, and the women begin their healing process. So if anybody is listening and have it in your heart and your mind to do the same thing for other women, it's, you know, it's a great opportunity to help.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity to help. Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the questions I was going to ask, was how do you reach out to other, because I'm sure you're not just interested in serving the Nashville area.
No,
and
we're
pretty
not.
Much,
we're
not yeah, you pretty much answered that question. So how would a person, I guess through the website, how would a person contact Thistle Farms if they were interested in becoming involved in the program? And I guess I answered my own question. You do have the website.
Yeah, you could. Just go on the website, and it has, the way for you can contact us. And that would be perfect. We would love, we'd love for you to sign up, call in and sign up and get your place for the next education workshop. Yeah. So that would be great. We would love to have you. Whoever you may be. We would love to have you. Yeah, so we have, it's not just for the women. We have men that come in that are interested in opening up a sanctuary. So it's not like it's just a women's thing and only women are interested in it. We have men who have to do this work also as well. We do. We have men, and we appreciate them as much as we do the women. So we have men to come in and do this work. And if a man wants to start a sanctuary, yeah, we do. We have men to come in and help also. And if a man wants to open a sanctuary for a man's group, that's perfect. It does not matter what your gender is. Everyone can stand healing in their life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to go do some shopping on that website of yours.
Oh, please go do some shopping on
the website.
Oh, yes. Please.
Yes,
do.
Yes. Yes,
please,
I surely will.
Yes.
I surely will.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Doris, I wanted to ask you, too, you when you do your therapy and this kind of thing, you once again, is this something that a person is required to, you know, like, you have to go to 3 therapy sessions a week, or does a resident pretty much determine, well, I really feel like I only need therapy once a week. Does the resident determine that, or is there kind of a structure that says
when they come in, we have Magdalen has a staff. They have a director, which is Donna Greer. She has an assistant, which is Carrie C. We have people, Yolanda Flags, Regina Mullings. The list goes on and on. We have people there. We have Marcy, who is a nurse that's on staff there. So when they talk to the women and they interview women when they come in, you know, we're in such pain that we're ready to give away our pain. So when they go to the therapy actually determines how intense the need is. Or whatever it is you've got going on. So the therapists are maybe the ones that would determine if you need to come weekly or biweekly or whatever the need might be. You know, because mine was sexual assault. I go to a sexual assault center, and here I am 7 years later, and I still go. I still go to it. You know, home is not a safe place for me, so I still have problems with living by myself. So, you know, so I thought I've lived with 27 women for a while. Why not get a roommate so I won't be by myself, you know? So there
sure.
are things, all types of things that we do to get our lives whole, and my life is whole now. I get to rebuild relationships with my children. By the time I was so deep into my addiction, my children were like 10 and 12 years old. But I thank God every day that I had a God-fearing mother who took my children and raised my children and taught them the ways of the Lord. And everything turned out okay. And they learned through watching their mom do all kind of old crazy stuff that they learn exactly what not to do by watching me. So my children are not addicted, and my children are not, you know, in any form of addiction. But that, and that's, I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. But I have reestablished relationships with my children, and I have 5 beautiful grandchildren, and I've reestablished relationships with my grandchildren, and my life is just good. I wasted so much of my life in my addiction. I started, my father, I was 12 years old when my father was murdered, and my addiction started right after that. So I had a childhood addiction to marijuana, and by the time I was an adult, I had a full-blown cocaine addiction, and that addiction took the majority of my life. I came into Magdalen, I was like 53 years old, 52 or 53 years old. My math was not good. I guess I was 53 mm-hmm. years old. I am now 60 years old, so... But I know I pray for healthy longevity, and I know my life is going to be okay. God has got me. Yeah, so I know I'm going to be okay. I'm going, and I just told my age on the air. What in the world? But yeah, there you go.
That's all right. Well, I'll share with you.
There you go.
I get to apply for Medicare here in a couple of months. So
there you go. I did.
I'm even older than you are, Doris. So don't feel bad.
I just did it. Yeah. So there you go.
I was. I had a thought in my head and it went away, and I'm trying to retrieve it here.
Okay.
Oh, what I was going to say was when you spoke about your children and your grandchildren, imagine though, Doris, how proud they must be of you knowing what you went through and how you have come back and recovered and made so much of your life now. I mean, that's got to be a wonderful legacy. So,
you know, they have a whole lot to be proud of. I remember when I was in the Magdalen program, I would get weekend pass because the children do not live with the parents. Majority of the time, by the time you get to the Magdalen program, you've already lost the custody of your children, or maybe a family member has your children. So the children
sure.
do not live with you there, but they give us passes every other week if we get passes to go home and visit with our family, but they interview to make sure where you're going to visit is not a place that would be not good for your recovery. So they make sure that you're going to a safe, healthy place. But I would go home, and my daughter would come pick me up, and I'd go spend the weekend with her, and I would be laughing and talking, and my life is joyous. And I remember one time she said, Mom, I didn't know you were so funny. And I thought, oh, my God, my own daughter, she doesn't know me. She didn't. She did not know me. She said, I didn't know you were so funny. And I thought, well, I am now funny because I have joy in my life. But that was probably a time when I had nothing to smile about, you know. I didn't even know who I was. So I actually got my life back. And I'm so grateful for it. So grateful for it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it certainly has been a wonderful story that you shared with us, Doris. You have shared your heart, you have shared your heartbreak, and I thank you for that. And we only have a few minutes left to the show, but I did want to ask you, what can you tell our listeners about how they can reach out? Excuse me, goodness, I'm just like you. My throat is so dry today. How they can reach out to women who are victims of trafficking, prostitution, addiction. How do you know the signs? And this doesn't necessarily need to occur in the big cities. I think listeners need to be aware that it's everywhere.
It is. It is everywhere. So, you know, you can tell, like, if you see a woman on the street and she looks tired and she looks battered and you see her walking, and a lot of times people would turn their nose up at me, but just think about it. If a lady is out on the street and she's dressed really provocative and she's standing there, just imagine what her options are. If she's gotten to the point of her life that's what she's doing, because nobody wakes up and thinks, oh, okay, I know what I want to be when I grow up. I think I want to be a hooker. Nobody does that.
Exactly.
You know, nobody does that. It's a result of something going on. So nobody does that. But as far as the human trafficking piece, I have a really good friend that was once in the Maximum program, and she was in human trafficking, heavily in human trafficking most of her life. And she told me one day, she said, you know what, Doris, it's the worst feeling in the world to get in the car with your pimp and he carry you to a different state and you pull up and he says, get out and don't come back until you've got my money. She said, that's the worst feeling in the world, because you don't know who's out there and what they're going to do. But you know, you already know, to avoid getting beat or killed, you've got to go out and get their money. So it's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. So if you see someone, you know, that they have hotline numbers for, I'm looking right now to try to get it. We have hotline numbers that are available for human trafficking. I'm going to give out this number because I know I've got it.
Good.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay, I'll put that on the website as well to Doris.
Yeah, so I'm looking. I'm going to get that number. And it's a hotline number. I'm going to keep talking, but I'm going to get that number. You know, because trafficking people that are it's a serious crime. And it's a grave, it's a grave violation of human rights. And, you know, because every year thousands of men and women and children fall into the hands of traffickers. And it's not only in our country, it's in our little bitty towns, and it's in our little small counties, and it's in the areas in the suburbs where you think it's not going on, but it is. It is. It's actually going on. So, it is going on. So if you see someone out there, reach up. Try to give them. You can call 1-800-273-8255.
1-800-273-8255. All righty, I've got that down too, Doris, and I will put that on my website as well. Well, thank you for that insight. And like I said, once again, you have shared so much with us, and I'm just really excited about Thistle Farms, and I'm going to tell some of my friends that I know are into online shopping and the body products and all that kind of thing, that I'm sure they'll really enjoy getting on there as well. So I'm going to spread the word.
Right.
And
okay.
If
you want to, if someone's out there and they think they have a tip, and they're not really sure, but they think they have a tip about someone being trapped in human trafficking, ask them to call this number also, because I want to get all these numbers out of here. I really want to help all the women. 1-888.
Okay.
3737. 1-888-373-7888. I'm going to get it right. 1-888-373-7888.
Okay.
Right. I can read, but I can't do numbers. Yeah, that's it.
And
so
I'll tell you what, Doris, if you have any other numbers, email them to me, and I will put them on my website.
Okay, I will. I will do
on
that.
On the website.
I will do that. Because when I saw you, the day that I met you in the airport, we were in Albany, New York, and I was headed to a college, Siena College, that had us up there for their human trafficking program. So I went up there and spoke, and Tracy and I spoke, and it's amazing how we just get to go places and tell about experience, and hopefully it helps other women. So
I'm sure
so
it touches lives you will never be aware of.
Okay, so I'm just so grateful. So I hope that everyone listening gets a Love Heal shirt, get a product, go online, and please help to support us and support the women, because they're worth it. Their lives are worth it. They're more than worth it. Yeah. So
yes,
I appreciate
yours. It's been just a delight and a blessing to meet you. And you and I are going to keep
thank
in touch.
Thank you so much. I hope
okay,
so. I pray we do.
Thank you
okay,
so
well, you
much,
have a great
Doris,
day. And thank you so much.
And God bless you. And like I said, we'll keep in touch.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. Have a great day.
All righty. Listeners,
bye.
In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please join us again next week for another show. We broadcast at 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time on Tuesday mornings. And like as I mentioned earlier, our shows are also archived. You'll find the archive links on my website at Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, under the Blog Talk Radio tab. God bless you. Have a great week.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a glow.